Good to be in the house today, amen. Amen. It's beautiful to see all those pictures and how much of an impact just simply giving something that is what we would normally do in excess for the kingdom of God. Praise God. If we want to turn to the book of John this morning, we're going to start at chapter 1 and also put a finger on Matthew chapter 2. Just want to give honor to our pastor and Sister Melanie. It's their 10-year anniversary of being installed, and we are so blessed to have pastor as our pastor. And, you know, even now he's going to travel all the way to Cootamundra, and he's still jet-lagged from the U.S. But we are blessed to have him as our pastor, and I know you guys are tremendously thankful. Praise God. John chapter 1, starting from verse 1 to 5, and it reads this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. And in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And now we'll go over to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to start from verses 13 to 14, and then we'll go to 19 and 23. So Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 14. It says, Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. And go down to verse 19. And it says, Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are now dead. Then he arose, took the child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judah instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. And last scripture, going back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verses 45 to 46, which will be our main text for today. John chapter 1, verses 45 to 46, it says, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, We have found him. Of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Why don't we just pray real quick, Lord? We've felt your presence in this place, Jesus. We just pray as the word is spoken, challenge us. God, encourage us by your word today, Lord. We need to hear from you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I want to speak on that. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? It is the 4th of December, and I don't mean to alarm you, but that means it is 21 days until Christmas. And when I say that, there are often three types of people. There are those who are excited. There are those who are overwhelmed, or those who are excited and overwhelmed. The anticipation is high. The stress levels are high. The family dinner expectations are high. The volume of the Christmas music in the shopping center is high. And the price of Christmas is certainly high. And because there is so much uncertainty and so much unnecessary pressure during this time, there's often a lot of emotions that are brought out during this time. Often past trauma or difficulties begin to manifest during this time of December. Perhaps it's grudges against families. I'm reminded of past bad experiences, and during this time, you know, often people are reminded of loneliness. People have heartbreak. People often get into debt a lot during this time. And some, including myself, if I'm really honest, I can testify that I am quite the Christmas Grinch. I do not necessarily enjoy Christmas. I much prefer New Year's because I know the year is over. Christmas is very stressful. But I'm not saying that's just me. I'm not putting that on anyone else. If you enjoy Christmas, praise God. Despite those things, this time is a great opportunity for us to pause for a moment and reflect on what truly matters. 1 Timothy 6 verse 6 says, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain." I wish we could just put that as a memory verse for whole of December when we're going to the mall, because you know, those marketing campaigns can be quite enticing. But now godliness with contentment is great gain. And Pastor spoke about a powerful word about forget not last week. And if you haven't heard that message, I encourage you to go back into the archives and have a listen. It's a timely reminder for us today, because what Pastor said, I thought it was powerful, is that we're often living the very life that we prayed for. We need to learn to be content in this world today and have an attitude of gratitude, to be thankful for the things we have. Because right now there are big business, big retailers spending billions of dollars of advertising money to think otherwise, to make you think otherwise. A materialistic Christmas is what I think about. It's crazy to me, because often we get this stuff and we enjoy the stuff that we get during Christmas, but at the end it usually just becomes stuff. After moving homes this year, you know, you sort of pack everything in boxes and then you put in the corner the stuff that needs to go. And I was so surprised to find so many things that I had forgotten I got for Christmas or for my birthday, and I instantly pick it up and like, man, what a great gift. I wonder how much it's worth on Gumtree, because you just forget about them sometimes, you know, when we get these gifts. And sometimes you can get so much that they just get stored up in a cupboard and you forget about them. And so during this season, we know we ought to be more thankful, and we know we ought to be wise with our spending and do the right thing and try our best to hold on all the way up until Christmas Day. But often the greatest gift of all in seasons of difficulty and busyness of life is something very simple. And if we're not careful through this busy time and chaos, we begin to treat this gift just like the local shopping centers tend to treat the nativity scenes. That is either not present at all or tucked away somewhere in a dark corner of the mall. Out of sight and out of mind. And we think sometimes ourselves we are very clever at with the ability of trying to handle life situations with our own hands. We begin to unfortunately put Jesus in the corner of our lives, rather, exactly what Pastor said, rather at the center of everything. We here today all have different needs. We all have different struggles. We all have different hurts and different stresses of life. But I want to encourage you that God sees you today. God sees the exact needs that you have, the exact feelings that you are going through, and the very stresses of life. God sees you today. Genesis 1 is also the same God in the New Testament. It is the same God today. The God that set his people free, yet these people unfortunately turned their back on him and sinned and turned to idols. He spoke through the prophets throughout the Old Testament that someone was coming, that there would be one, a Messiah that would be born. And we read in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 to 7, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Isaiah 7:14 also says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." It was the Creator that humbled himself as a creature. It was the Maker who humbled himself to a manger. God, who nurtured us, was now being nurtured himself. Emmanuel, God with us. This is one of the greatest mysteries to us, in that God would come down and leave his throne of power and majesty and become a man. He was fully God and fully man. Colossians 2:9 says, "For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body." Why did he do this? Because he came to identify with his creation. That's you and I today. Praise God. Now, when we begin to look at our main text this morning from John chapter 1, verse 46, Nathanael, he said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" There is great depth to this question, because God came down to save you and I. The circumstances facing the birth of Jesus were not favorable at all. First of all, we have the mother and father, Mary and Joseph, who were about to be married. Mary was a virgin, yet here we are, she is pregnant. And Joseph, well, you could only imagine what Joseph was feeling, and it wasn't until an angel came to reassure him and told him what had happened. You can imagine the thoughts, you can imagine the chatter of the town as this had happened, remembering Nazareth was a very small place. He was born in a stable. Does anyone want to be born in a stable? Like, that's crazy. All the animals, the filth, the smell, that is not an unfavorable circumstance to be born in. There was no room for Jesus at the inn in Bethlehem. And not only that, we also have King Herod, who knew that there was a king of the Jews to be coming, the Messiah who was coming. He was a cruel man, a power-hungry man. And he had heard that this so-called king of the Jews had been born. And he ordered that every child under the age of 2 in Bethlehem be put to death. That is an unfavorable circumstance to be born in. What a time. And so not only the Messiah and his parents have this burden behind them, he was born in a manger, but they also have this ever-present danger that King Herod was after them. Unfavorable, undesirable circumstances. But despite all of those things, God was still able to make a way. Hallelujah. When we look at Bethlehem, there is such a powerful study when you begin to look at the city of Bethlehem and its significance to the coming Messiah. Bethlehem was well known among the religious of the time. This was the place where the King, the Messiah, was to be born. Micah 5 verses 2 says, "But as for you, Bethlehem Ephratus, too little to be among the clans of Judah, for from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His going forth from long ago, from the days of eternity." And so Bethlehem was considered the smaller town. In Luke chapter 2 verses 4, it describes this city as the city of David. It says this in Luke chapter 2, verse 4. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judah, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David. And we, of course, know who the father of David was, which was Jesse. And Jesse was identified as a Bethlehemite. And we see that in 1 Samuel 16. And the father of Jesse was Obed. And the mother of Obed was Ruth. And it's an incredible study. I don't have time to share it. But if you go through genealogy, it's incredible. So Bethlehem is pretty much this well-known, well-renowned city, especially with Obed, Jesse, and David. It has its rich history, its significant prophecy importance. Everyone knew what Bethlehem was. The religious were seeking and knew that the Messiah indeed would come from Bethlehem. And it is by an incredible miracle and through the prophecies and Mary and Joseph and how the census just happened to happen at the right time, and they arrived in Bethlehem to give birth to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Bethlehem would be the place where creation would meet its creator face to face. In Bethlehem, we came face to face with our creator. No longer would he be far off, but he is now with us. Emmanuel, God with us. The most significant event in human history happened as this one child was born in a manger. Now, to contrast that, let's look at Nazareth. The Old Testament rarely, if ever, mentioned Nazareth. Although we do read in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3, that it says that he was despised and rejected by men. We read the account of Jesus as a teenager in Jerusalem in the temple, and we've read through our home groups about that. He was in the temple teaching, and his parents had seemed to have lost him on their journey back home. Worried mum and dad told him to come down and come back home. In Luke 2:51, we read, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth. See, Nazareth had an ill reputation. Nazareth was not a place of royalty or great reward. Nazareth was not only a place they were going to downwards geographically, but they were also going downward socially. John 1:45, verse 6, the question that Philip comes to Nathanael, he says, "We've found the Messiah that we've been looking for, Jesus of Nazareth." Not Jesus the Bethlehemite. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. You see, Jesus was in a town of insignificance, not being identified with this rich heritage of Bethlehem. The significance, the prophecy, all the words that had been spoken about this Messiah that was coming. The circumstances Jesus grew up in were, of course, not favorable. But he did this for a reason. Nazareth had no good reputation. Nazareth was not heard by many people, and Nazareth was a lowly place. There was not one single mention of this rustic settlement, which was tucked away in a region known for its obscurity. It was a region that was out of the way. It was not talked about, this Nazarene. And I would imagine that this Nazarene title would somewhat become a stigma that Jesus would carry for the rest of his life. And some of us here, this is important, some of us here are currently or have been through a place called Nazareth. Among Jews, Nazareth Nazareth's reputation was so poor, but outside of Israel, the town wasn't even known about, which is why when we get to the Gospels, they had to explain Jesus, son of Nazareth, which is in a town of Galilee. No one knew where Nazareth was. We sing all about, O little town of Bethlehem, but we don't talk about Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? You see, today Nazareth can look very much like a place of a broken home with no father figure or mother figure around when you were young. Nazareth can be a place of shame and horrible circumstances that we do not wish to communicate to other people around us just simply because of the trauma and the tragedy that had happened in that place. Nazareth can be a place where your marriage feels like it's on the rocks and you don't know what to do. Mary and Joseph had something similar to that. Nazareth can be a place where you find yourself today not knowing how to share or communicate the real thoughts, the real place that you find yourself in today. Yeah, you praise and you worship and you come to the house of God faithfully and we rejoice with that. But deep down, there are those places called Nazareth that we struggle to share with others because they are so traumatic. They are so dark that we are so afraid to share about those places. It's lonely, it's hard, it's causing great sorrow and great pain. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And perhaps you've even asked yourself that question, whatever your Nazareth is today. Can anything good come out of these circumstances? Can anything good come out of this family trouble that I'm going through right now? Can anything good come from this situation? It's the same question they asked, Nathaniel asked. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? You see, Jesus himself never self-identified as a Nazarene. Rarely did his followers. It was mostly crowds that were unfamiliar with him. They shouted things like, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Even demons even used the identification of Nazareth in Luke 4:34, saying, let us alone. What have we done to you, Jesus of Nazareth? Perhaps it was an insult or a demeaning manner to just really say, Jesus, you're just from this small place that no one even knows about. And today I encourage you, because God has a word for you today, that your life is not determined by the place called Nazareth. The dark places, the traumatic past events, the loss of loved ones, the struggling financial situations, you are not defined by your Nazareth today. Hallelujah. Nathaniel's word says, can anything good come from Nazareth? I myself, if I can be really honest, that 2022 has not been the greatest year of my life. It's probably the hardest year of my life. And as I go through those seasons, one thing after another begins to build up and you begin to start questioning everything that you have ever known. Yes, I believe in the Word of God. Yes, I have a testimony that God has brought me out from some dark places. But Lord, can anything good come from this? I don't know if you've ever been in one of those situations where you just simply look at the Word of God and you just can't get anything from it. You are so confused, so self-doubting that you can no longer see the good in any situation. You know and you have memorized all the Bible verses to help you get through this, but still that question is asked in your heart, is there really, God, anything good that can come out of this? God, if you're really good, I really shouldn't be in this situation right now. God, if you are good, this thing would not happen to me. God, why am I here? If you are a good God, get me out of this. That's not the way God works. If Nathanael's comment on Jesus or the words of a demon or the false prophets in Acts weren't enough, Pilate, on the day of Calvary, inscribed it on the instrument of Jesus' own torture. John 19, verse 19, it says, and Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. There's so much significance about what was written on that cross. This Jesus, he humbled himself to the point of death, even on the cross as a Nazarene. Isaiah 53, verse 3, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. You see, there was a reason and a purpose that Jesus was identified as a Nazarene. During his time on earth, Jesus, though he was fully God, yes, he was also fully man. He experienced every emotion that we ourselves go through. He felt joy, but he also felt sorrow. He felt anger. He also knew what it was to lose someone that you love dearly. In John 11, 35, we read, Jesus wept for the loss of Lazarus. He sees you today, church, and he knows exactly what you're feeling. Even though that you can come onto a church dressed up all nicely, God sees where your heart is today. He knows your struggles. He knows your stress. He knows your hurt. God sees you today. Hallelujah. If I can invite the musicians to come. There is a point of all of this, and it's quite simple. The question, can anything good come from Nazareth? That was a valid question for him to ask. And today, whoever God is speaking to, God sees you. And as we read that scripture, he is acquainted with your grief. He understands your pain. When our hearts are broken, God's heart is broken. If you are hurting, God is hurting as well. But the Nazareth story did not end in dishonor or ill reputation. There was brokenness and we had fallen into sin, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The story of Nazareth did not end in shame or dishonor, but God took all the ugly and broken and ill-reputable things and turned them into something good. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Yes, it can. Jesus of Nazareth died upon the cross at Calvary for you and I because he loves you, regardless of your circumstance today. It is that same Jesus that is now risen, not in shame, but in unparalleled glory. First it came from the tomb in Mark 16, verse 6. But he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified, but he is now risen. He is not here. It's second, it came from Peter from Pentecost, and he preached Acts 2, 22. Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose for knowledge of God, have taken by lawless hands. You've crucified the Messiah because they were looking for this Messiah that would come from Bethlehem. They were looking for this Messiah that would liberate them from the Roman reign. But no, this Messiah came as a humble servant, Jesus of Nazareth. Acts 2, verse 36, let therefore the Israels know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut in their heart. They realized, we've just killed the Messiah. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Can any good come from this circumstance, this terrible circumstance? We just thought this Jesus was a blasphemer. We just thought this Jesus was controlled by evil spirits, that he was able to perform these miracles. We didn't know he was important because he came from Nazareth. They were so convicted. Hallelujah. What good is there in this situation? What I want to tell you, church, there is good news. There is good that can come from Nazareth. Hallelujah. That's how we get the good news, that this Jesus that was born in a manger, died upon the cross for our sin and our shame, our past that has bad experiences, the hurts that you are going through right now. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, died for you and I. What was the response? Peter said, repent. Die to yourself. Repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You don't have to be bound by your Nazareth today. If you haven't been baptized in the name of Jesus, it's time to be baptized. If you haven't received the Spirit today, it's time to receive the Spirit. If we can all stand. As I give you this last little bit of word, Jesus himself grew up in this forgotten town, and Jesus came down from his throne and humbled himself into a small town, and he took Nazareth up with him in triumph. It is through the cross of Calvary that we can have the victory. It is through the blood of Jesus Christ that we can overcome the hurts, the pain, the suffering of Nazareth. And it can become good. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things, everyone say all things, even this situation that you're going through right now, all things work together for good to those who love God and accord according to his purpose. I know you're not feeling right now that there is any good in this circumstance right now, but I want to encourage you by the word of God, it's working for good. I know there's a storm, but Jesus is about to bring you through. If you don't believe me today, or if I've just preached something completely foreign and it makes no sense at all, in my closing word, I want to echo the words of Philip to Nathanael. He said this, can anything good come from Nazareth? Philip simply said this, come and see. Psalms 34 verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Can anything good come from this circumstance? Yes, just taste and see. Hallelujah. So I'm going to open up the altars right now. If you want to come and pray, God sees you and God's going to touch you. And I feel the presence of God in this place. Why don't we just come pray as we seek the face of God? Can anything good come from Nazareth? Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
souls, the King of heaven, when you speak, mountains move. I believe there will be breakthrough. Your power, your presence breaks strongholds, the King of heaven, when you speak, mountains move. I believe there will be breakthrough.
You alone.
You alone can take my scars, piece by piece restore my heart. Take what's broken, make it whole again. Oh, your power, your presence breaks strongholds.
Shake the mountains,
break the walls apart, open the heavens. Almighty God, you are overcomer, defender of my heart.
You are God.
By your power, the oceans open wide, your fire falls down, heaven and like King Jesus, forever by my side.
Shake the mountains, yeah.
Shake the mountains, break the walls apart. Open the heavens, Almighty God, you are overcomer, defender of my heart.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Let that be a word for you today as you leave this place. Don't worry about the stresses of December. Make sure you put Jesus at the center of this season. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just close out the service in prayer. Lord God, we felt your word speak to us today. God, it is spoken into the dark places, the places of confusion, sorrow and grief. God, you love us. And we are so thankful, Lord, that you came down and you died for us on the cross. God, you love us so much that you came and died and poured out your blood to cover our sins and shame, Jesus. God, help us when we struggle for those times where we don't see good. Help us find the good in it, Jesus. So God, as we leave this place, Lord, we are reminded to put you first in this season, Lord. In all the busyness of life, let your name be lifted on high in my life. We love you, Lord. We pray that you'll be with us. Keep Pastor safe on the road to Cootamundra. Be with the saints in Cootamundra also, Lord. We love you. We give you all the glory and we give you all the praise. And everyone said in Jesus' name. Jesus name. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us this Sunday. We pray you have a blessed evening. Enjoy the warm weather. Praise God. God bless you.